63. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 53 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch sport experts. Hope you guys are doing well, and I hope you guys are excited for another fun one here on the show. I feel like we've been rolling and having some fun here lately, man, with this breaking down tape, getting some more guests on here, just like we're doing today. But first, I want to give a big thanks again to Clint Lamb. Joined us yesterday. If you guys missed that, make sure you guys go back on our YouTube channel, any podcast platform that you guys may use. You can listen to yesterday's episode and hear the interview with Clint. Again, Clint from Cover Crimson does a great job, and he's now going to join us every Tuesday at the top of the hour. So you guys requested, we listened, and of course we enjoyed it as well. So now we're we got Clint joining us every Tuesday. That's going to be exciting. So if you missed it yesterday, go back and check that. But today we got another guest. This time it's a little bit different. We're going to take a trip down memory lane in a little bit. We're going to talk to one of the most exciting Alabama players of recent years, one of probably the most popular amongst favorites here, in my opinion. I think everybody knows who this guy is. Crazy Tony Brown goes by AP3X now, does a lot of good stuff, and we'll talk about that here. But he will be joining us at the top of the hour. I'm excited about it. Me and Tony go way back, all the way back to when my first visit here, but I think it was my official visit. And we definitely got real close that evening. Pause, but you'll find out why. I'll talk about how that went, and I'm sure you guys will get a good laugh out of that. But anyway, we're going to dive into a number of things with Tony, his journey, how he ended up here, his process here, the NFL, and then what he's doing now, what he's kind of doing outside of football. He's got a lot of big stuff that he's working on, and so we're definitely going to ask him about that, get his thoughts on it. I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy this. I know for a fact you guys are going to love it. He'll be joining the stream at 12, so make sure you guys are ready for that. In the meantime, we'll talk some football. Up until then, we got plenty to talk about. I know it's a bye week. Things are a little bit slower because we're not really prepping you guys for a game this week right now. But we always can go back and review, look at what we've done up to this point, some other stuff like that. We'll definitely do that. Maybe listen to some clips. I know we do have the teleconference today. However, with Tony coming on, I don't know if we'll be able to get to that. If we do, cool. If not, we always have tomorrow. That said, that's kind of what we've got on schedule for today. We'll talk ball like we typically do. Then at 12, we'll welcome in Tony and we'll have a good time. Just trust me, you guys are in for a treat, man. You guys are in for a treat. And I forgot to mention, we still do have the tape and everything. So if you guys have any questions that you want to see, right? Just like yesterday, we took a look. Ended up probably doing an after stream for the most part, but we took a look at the running game. A lot of questions about that. We talked to Clint about that. We went ahead and pulled the tape up on the stream. We were able to kind of diagnose some of the things that have been going on. I think we came to a conclusion, right? Lack of execution at times, failing to get good push initially. Just little details that can be cleaned up. But then there's a couple times backs not pressing or hitting holes the way they should. But it was cool. We got to do it together here on the stream. So we can always do that. If you guys have anything that you want to take a look at, we love to dive into that as well. Don't forget about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's arch sport experts. GoodFeetKickForCash.com is the website. They're doing basically it's a special, right? During the home games here, you get an opportunity to win cash for free, right? Free cash. You get a chance to win that. All you got to do is head on over to GoodFeetKickForCash.com. Sign up. Just takes your phone. No, not even your phone. Your name and your email address, and that's it. And you can get signed up. If you get selected, you get an opportunity to kick some field goals. If you make them, you walk away with cash. If you don't, you still walk away with the free gift from the Good Feet Store. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that, unless you're a little nervous. But don't be, right? It's just kicking field goals. I'm sure you guys can do it. All right. That being said, go do that right now. GoodFeetKickForCash.com and check out their store too. If you need some arch supports, Good Feet right there in Midtown Village is where you can find them. Again, that is the Good Feet store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Sorry, guys, I'm a little all over the place this morning, trying to get everything set up, trying to do this, trying to do that. It's one of those days, but we're rocking and rolling here on the show. Chase, were you watching Alabama a good bit back when, you know, me and Tony were playing? How much you know about Tony?
I know a little bit about him. It's kind of crazy. He's an interesting player. I'll say that. He definitely was an impact player. When I did watch Alabama back then, it was interesting to learn more about his story, which is very captivating. And I'm actually excited you're getting him on, especially how versatile he is, especially when he got to the NFL. I think a lot of people just kind of didn't really follow him as much, but then the more he kind of spoke about his journey, I think people really related to him, and that's why he's so special here to the Crimson Tide. But yeah, back then I watched a little bit about him, kept up with him.
Yeah, man. Well, you're in for a treat. I'll tell you that much. You know, I got to start it out with our story from, granted, me and Tony met before this, right? Because we attended camps and stuff like that. Like, we were out in Oregon together for the opening. That's how it used to be with recruiting. I'm not sure if it's still the same. I'm sure it is. I know guys get to know each other, especially on, like, visits. But, like, when I was getting recruited, when we used to go do these, like, because first you had the Nike Spark Combine. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Some of our younger listeners might have attended some of these. Maybe you sent kids there. But it was called the Nike Spark Combine, right? They traveled around the country, and they held basically a combine for high school football players. And you would do the 40. There's like a med ball throw, vert, all this stuff. But it basically was like a quote-unquote combine. And if you tested well, but here's the thing, guys. I think they already had an idea who they wanted to extend invites. The whole thing was, if you had tested well, right, you had the opportunity to get the invite to the next stage, which is the training camp, which was like skill-based, like football-based, right? Not just a combine. It was actually doing drills and whatnot. But they knew, like, they were going to end up inviting, like, the recruits anyway, in my opinion. But I think some guys that maybe weren't big recruits maybe still got an invite. But I think it was kind of already set, like, all right, we're holding this combine here. We already know we're trying to get these recruits from this area here. They're pretty much going to get the invite regardless. And then there might have been a couple other guys. But I think that's how they're doing it. But anyway, shout out to my high school coach, Coach Bacon. He's actually coaching high school up in Greenville, South Carolina, now right near my dad's church. But, man, he used to be on it when it came to recruiting. He had all of us signed up, so we went up there. And I want to say the one that we did might have been like Rock Hill or Charlotte. It wasn't in Columbia, but we went up there and did the whole Spark come. I got invited to the training camp and all that good stuff. I say all this to say you got to meet so many people during these things, because I met a lot of guys at the combine. But like I've mentioned, I mean, there was, I mean, buku amount of kids, and most of them, you know, just kind of were there. When you got to the training camp, it was pretty much a lot of recruits. And the one I had to go to was in Charlotte. I got to meet a lot of guys I still, you know to this day. I mean, one guy ended up playing linebackers at Stanford, yeah, and played in the league and whatnot. But anyway, I say all that to say you meet all these people. So I met Tony before, but we really got to know each other on my official visit. He early enrolled, and I don't want to jump the gun too much because I'll let him tell the story, but he early enrolled. It was him. I want to say it was him, David Cornwell, if you guys remember Cornwell, played quarterback from Oklahoma. And who was their other roommate that early enrolled? Man, I think there was one more. But anyway, they were all here on campus when I got here. And so they were in charge of when we all came on our officials. Because back then, I say back then like it was that long ago. It was a little bit ago. But during that time, you might have had like 20% of the class at most early enroll. Everybody else, we all came in the summer. So when we were all coming on our visits, they were already here. They were in our class, or RAs. So they kind of, you know, showed us around and did all that stuff. And yeah, me and Tony, we went out, and he was showing me around. He introduced me to some of his friends, new friends that he had made. And ended up being a very eventful evening. So I'll definitely let him, he'll tell that story a little bit more here in a minute. Plus, if you guys do have any questions, you can always drop a question here in the chat, or you can always download the Tide 100.9 app and leave it there as well. And we will try to get to it right here on the show. That being said, let's do this. Let's stay on schedule. I don't want to jump the gun and start telling too many stories. We're going to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll start diving into some football. And we'll gear up for Tony again, top of the hour. He will be joining us right here on the Miller's Edge. Top 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feast Store, America's Arts.
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
95.3 The Bear.
And Sports Radio Tide 100.9.
And 1230 AM WTBC.
Are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season
to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com.
On the app
or the Tide 100.9 app.
Each week,
we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill.
With two locations in Tuscaloosa.
Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
With 95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy, the chance of a few passing showers this afternoon and early tonight. The high today 56, the low tonight 45. Clearing tomorrow, sunshine by afternoon, the high 57. And Friday, a sunny day with a high at 63. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 53 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
TBC, hope everybody is doing well. All right. So in the meantime, again, 12 o'clock, top of the hour, we will be joined by Tony Brown, former Alabama defensive back and a current NFL defensive back. And he's also doing a lot of other stuff, and I'll let him dive into that here in a minute. So we are waiting for that. About 30 minutes or so, we will do that. In the meantime, we'll talk a little bit of football. Now, I do know that my mic might sound a little bit different real quick. I need to... I guess probably mess with some of these settings here, but we'll rock and roll because I know you guys can hear me. That's all that matters right now. So I'll get that figured out here in a second when we hit this next timeout. All right. That being said, yesterday we talked about some of the things, I guess, that we've seen out of Alabama. Our expectations, are they a national title favorite? We asked Clint his thoughts and asked you guys. And I think the common theme here, guys, was I believe Alabama is definitely trending that direction. Definitely one of the top teams. We looked at the offense, right? We dissected the offense. What do we think about the offense? We dissected the defense. What do you think about the defense? And I think we came to the conclusion, right? I mean, we're right there. I don't think any of us concluded that, hey, we're where we need to be just yet. But when we look at this football team, what we've been able to do, how we progressed each week, when we look around the country, we're right there. And we're obviously going to continue to make progress there. But what's interesting was we had that conversation yesterday, and I feel like a lot of people are probably in agreement that, look, Alabama is one of the teams to beat, without a doubt. And I don't think this comment necessarily refutes that. But I don't know if you guys saw this, but I did see Joe Klatt. He had some comments regarding Alabama, and it was comparing us to Ohio State. And it was interesting. Chase Reed, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he felt a little bit different than I felt, right? To me, I feel like Alabama, Ohio State, Indiana, like, in my opinion, I feel like we're all kind of in a similar realm, right? I know Ohio State looks really good. I mean, I understand why they're the number one team, Indiana as well. But I think the balance is, like, while there are some things about Alabama that needs to be cleaned up, I also respect the fact that we've been battle-tested. And there's probably going to be some things that show up for us that might not look as great as some of these other people because they haven't necessarily been tested the same way we have. But to Joel Klatt, allegedly... I don't think he even cares about that because his comments were he doesn't even really feel that Alabama's even in that realm with the likes of Ohio State. This is what he had to say. Here's his quote. He says, if you did just like a side-by-side comparison with Alabama and Ohio State, how they're built, the way they play defense, not even close. The margin between the number one team in the country and the number four team in the country is actually kind of wild. So some interesting comments. In my opinion, I feel like that's a little bit stretched, right? I do agree with them. Ohio State's defense looks really good. And we know Julian Sand, those guys on the offense side of the ball, they're doing some good stuff. They look great, right? They look like a complete team. I get that. But without them being battle-tested, to me, I'm not saying I'm pumping the brakes. I'm buying into them. I think they're legit. But I just don't see how you view it as Alabama's just way beyond. Like, there's just this huge gap. Personally, I don't really feel that way. Look, I understand the running game not really being consistent. I understand pass pro kind of up and down, right? I understand defensively earlier on. Look, and we still have given up explosives, which everybody does, but I feel like we're getting better, and we're seeing that number being limited. I feel like the defense is making a lot of progress. To me, it sounds like he's going off of, and I know he covers a lot of Big Ten stuff and whoever else he covers, but I just don't know if he's really watching our games in depth. I'm sure he is. I mean, that's his job. I would hope so. But I don't know, man. To say that there is a complete, just huge gap between the two teams, number one, number four, I'm not seeing what he's seeing. I mean, if you want to say by a small margin he feels Ohio State's a little bit more complete of a football team, right, a little bit better of a team right now, I mean, sure, that's fine. That's fair. I mean, I respect that opinion, but I don't understand how you watch what Alabama has become, right? Not what Alabama was week one, not what Alabama was week three, but what Alabama has become. And I know, yeah, we had, you know, last game, South Carolina, it was tough. And some people might argue, oh, the last few games were close, right, or closer than they probably could have been or should have been. But again, you're talking about a team that has faced four straight ranked opponents. And we're not talking about a situation where, all right, we played these guys, they're ranked, and then they go on and just be trash. I don't have the number in front of me, but the teams that we played that were ranked when we played them have actually fared very well since us beating them, right? Georgia has not lost since the loss to us, right? And that includes a win over a very good Ole Miss team, right? Look at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt went and just beat a Missouri team. I understand that injury at quarterback, whatever. But Vanderbilt's still a top 10 team right now. Alabama, where we stand right now with our schedule, not just what, like where these teams were when we played them, but where these teams are currently, I mean, Alabama, I want to say, has three, let me think, Georgia's top 10, Vanderbilt's top 10. What is Missouri right now? So I got to pull up the current schedule. But anyway, you get my point. It's not like these teams just vanished out of, you know, the top 25, top 10, whatever. No, these teams are really good teams, and Bama has those on their resume. So I guess what I'm getting at is, and I'm not wearing crimson glasses. I'm not just defending Alabama because, obviously, you know, I'm a Bama guy. I just feel like sometimes people just stretch some of the things. Maybe it's a media take. Maybe that's why they do it. I know I get that's part of the job. Sometimes you want reactions, but I don't know. I mean, it's like on one hand, I understand, like, the initial point of what he's saying. Like, I do feel like a team like Ohio State, I mentioned it yesterday, right? I talked about that. Like, when we do play a team that has that defense that will challenge us, like in the likes of, you know, Missouri, South Carolina, but that has an offense that's capable to match that, that does cause me concern with us. Now, I'll be straight up and say that. But saying that is one thing, and then saying Alabama is just not even close to what they're doing, that's a whole nother thing. Chase Reed, I'm curious what you guys have to say about that.
Yeah, I think to say that there's a huge margin between number one and number four is, I don't know. I feel like that's almost disrespect in a sense, because I could see where he's coming from of the sense of Ohio State. And I think he pointed it out great that you could argue that they are the most complete team. And I personally think that they are, you know. But like you said, I don't think Ohio State's been truly battle tested. Their best, I guess, test of the season was against a week one against Texas, where they were ranked number three. Now they're like around the 20-ish range, which that's not a bad Texas team, but Texas, like, being your best compared to Bama's Georgia, Missouri, Vandy, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like the resilience from this Bama team has been anything unlike any other team in the nation right now.
Yeah, and I think you have to take that into the equation, right? You have to take that into consideration that, without a doubt, we're definitely the most battle-tested team. And here's the updated AP right here. So Alabama has wins over number five, Georgia on the road, great win. Number nine, Vanderbilt at home, which, I mean, Vanderbilt, their only loss is to us. We'll see how they finish things. But still, I mean, they're playing some good football. I mean, this is not the same Vanderbilt that we're used to, right? So we just have to accept it at this point. I mean, eight games through and they're 7-1, and they've got themselves some decent wins as well. Tennessee, ranked 14. Some would argue they should have beat Georgia at home that game. We know how that went. You know, could have, would have, should have. I get it. But still, their only two losses is to us, number four, and number five, Georgia. So that's a very good win as well. Missouri, 19th. Their losses are to us and to Vanderbilt, right? So number four and number nine. So what I'm getting at is, I mean, like, you talk about, I mean, the most impressive resume, the most growth from week one to week seven. You always talk about, you know, and I've heard people say this, and it's so true, right? When you go, when we're talking about making runs, it's not always about the best team. I mean, it is, but at the same time, sometimes it's more so about who's the hottest team. And I'd argue the way we're starting to hit our strides, we still haven't seen our best yet. And I think if we still continue to build on what we're doing, I mean, I think Alabama can be as dangerous as anybody when you look at it from that perspective. And I think some of these other teams have that opportunity too, right? Like, I feel like Georgia, I think they're still kind of putting it together. I think Georgia's going to be a much better team by the end of this season. Not even, I think I know, they'll be a much better team by the end of the year than they were back in, you know, whatever week it was when we played them. Why? Because I think they've had plenty of time at that point to really kind of mold and adjust to who they need to be, given some of their insufficiencies, some of the things that they haven't been great at or they weren't earlier on in the year. And that's what you expect out of football teams. But anyway, I just wanted to start with that comment before we get in. We got Tony coming up at 12, but I'm curious to what you guys think about that, because I know we had the conversation here on the show. We talked with Clint about it. A lot of you know, high expectations for Alabama. A lot of people buying stock in Alabama, but I guess you still got some people that aren't really fully seeing it. And I think it really boils down to kind of what we've been talking about, where it's all about your perspective. It's one thing when you look at it and you point out, you immediately jump to, yeah, they did this, but, and you focus on the but. It's like but they're struggling to run the football, but their offensive line has been inconsistent, but, you know, their defense gives up big plays. But I think when it comes down to it, man, I mean, no team technically ever has been perfect. I don't care even if you've been undefeated. I'll be honest with you. I even think about our 2015 national championship team. People don't talk about it. I mean, I know we won the Joe Moore Award that year, and we were running all over the place. But we had a couple spots on that offensive line that you know, could be a little, you know, worrisome at times, right? I mean, I'm just being completely honest with you. I mean, maybe it might have been one, but that line wasn't perfect. Now, we were able to run the football pretty damn well. And Jake had a rocket of an arm, but you guys get my point. So you're not always going to be perfect. Sometimes I think we've overlooked into things. I mean, and I think the biggest thing is, can the coaches, and this is what they're paid to do, find ways to you know, compensate for some of those insufficiencies? And I think what we're seeing right now is, the answer is yes. I think Ryan Grubb has found ways to kind of not hide some of those blemishes, but try to, you know what I mean, mask them as good as he can while they work to fix them. And you can only hope that they continue to get worked on a little bit. We looked at the tape. I'd argue a lot of it can be fixed by execution. Some of it might just be, you know, some of the personnel guys we have just might not be up to par, unfortunately. But we're doing what we can to fix that. But anyway, I don't know. I'm curious what you guys think about that. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling on this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide on the point nine, 12:30 WTBC again, top of the hour. We got Tony Brown joining us. You guys don't want to miss it. You guys are in for a treat. Looking forward to that. We'll do that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 12:30 WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration,
We transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
95.3 The Bear
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season
to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com,
on the app,
or the Tide 100.9 app.
Each week,
we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill,
with two locations in Tuscaloosa,
Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
With 95.3 The Bear
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. I've been talking about this for a second now during the break, but I just want to put this out here for everybody with our radio listeners now back in the fold. If you look at it, I mean, if you take away that Florida State game, I think it's evident Alabama would be the number one ranked team in the country. Why? Because look at our schedule. Right. If we were to beat Florida State week one, you talk about our resume right now, Alabama would be the number one ranked team in the country. Would that shift the perspective, or I guess the thoughts of a guy like Joel Klatt? I don't know. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the college football playoff rankings that talk about placement for all that good stuff. And we'll see where that ends up falling. But I agree with, was it Matthew here in the chat? You know, that Florida State loss almost felt necessary. I mean, that might have been the best thing to happen to this program in quite some time. I mean, because it truly feels like there was a shift in the coaches' mindsets, the players' mindsets, just the whole program in general. You talk about a change of intensity, just really just the day-to-day, I think, just going about things has just been totally different since then. So, I could care less about having the one there or I could not care less about having the one there, being fourth, any of that. I'm just, in my mind, it's just interesting because when I hear comments like Joel Klatt's, it makes me wonder, are these people still hung up on that week one game against Florida State? Maybe, or maybe they just still watch us. And I'm sure, again, he probably, it goes off of the things I mentioned, right? Some inconsistencies here and there, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see. I think what's going to be one of the most interesting things for me is how we look coming out of this bye week, right? Because I know we kind of had a little bit of that dip this past game. And I'm convinced it was because of that long stretch. So I'm really curious how we look coming out of this bye week. Fresh, right? Had time to get healthy. I don't know who all will be coming back. I know guys like Danny Lewis have been in and out, banged up. Other guys that aren't even on injury reports, they're dealing with stuff, whether they're on the report or not. So I want to see what our team looks like having that time off to get healthy, get their mindset back right, and get ready, you know, gassed up and ready to roll. Because I personally feel like, I mean, you heard Jeremy Bernard's comments. I mean, these guys still know there's still a lot left in the tank. And there's a lot left to be seen, which is very positive. But if I'm them, I'm hearing what Joel Klatt saying. I'm using that as motivation. But I know what we need to do is maybe after the stream today, pull up some Ohio State tape and just kind of take a deeper dive. I've watched Ohio State. I watched several games. Have I watched them like I watched Alabama, like watching, going back and watching tape? I have not, which is why I'm curious. I mean, if he feels so strongly, there's this big gap. I want to see. I mean, if I'm being honest, if I compare the two teams, I'm with you, Reed. I mean, without a doubt, I would argue that Ohio State's a more complete team. Even though they're not battle tested, I have no problem with that. But just to say the huge gap there, I don't know. We'll have to see. Let's see what Tia says. She says, you know, these media people are reactionary. They're fans. They're fickle when you're doing good and loud when you're doing bad. My advice is to enjoy each game at a time because the season moves fast. Before you know it, we're looking at the offseason. If we see Ohio State, we see them. Yeah, no, it would be interesting, man. I mean, I think it'd be a damn good matchup. Personally, I mean, depending on where teams are placed, I mean, it would not shock me if it comes down to us two. Would not shock me. I know we got a long ways to go, but that just wouldn't shock me. I'm seeing people in the chat saying Rusaw might be back around Oklahoma. I think that would be solid. I don't think they ever gave a timetable. Maybe you guys have been hearing some stuff, but I'm excited for when he comes back, and obviously you know why. You look at Yonze stepping up and what he's been able to do, and you add Rusaw back in that fold, man. I mean, I think we've been talking so much about everybody else's tandems of edge rushers. I think we finally have our pair in Rusaw and Pierre, right? I think those guys, you know, depending on, I mean, when Rusaw comes back, it might take him some time. I mean, you're talking about a foot injury. I mean, being a pass rusher, I mean, it's about explosiveness, bending. I mean, it might take him a couple weeks, but a fully healthy Rusaw linked up with Pierre, man, I think that'll be solid. Because basically, you don't have to worry about Deontay Lawson going out. Even though Deontay Lawson's been doing a decent job when they've had him in that position, I'm just imagining a guy like Quay Rusaw, who is a pass rusher naturally, you know, working those games, doing all those things. I mean, best believe the pass rush is going to take a big jump when you have that type of personnel back, right? An explosive guy who's built for those things. Like those mug looks, again, I call it the buck position. It's basically just like a outside backer in that rabbits type package that you allow to move around and work more out of like a three technique at times, depending on the call. And he can work games from that spot. I'm just telling you guys, man, pass rush should take a big jump when we get that. Everybody's spamming Keon Keeley in the chat too. He's coming along too, but that's not his role. He's more of like in those packages, he can rush out of a three, or if you're in like an odd look, yeah, he'll be in a five. I'm talking about having like another true like edge guy. Like Keon's almost outgrown like that. I know you guys see him off the edge, and he is an edge rusher. Don't get me wrong, but he's like 275 now. I'm saying having a guy like Rusaw, who's around 250, 245, 250, those guys, you know what I mean? Like true rabbits. That's what I coined them, like true outside backer slash rabbit guys. But you're right. Keon coming along is great. And I think that's going to be huge. If I'm Kane Womack, this is what I would do. If I'm Kane Womack, because I saw there's some things, some packages we had where we had like Edric Hill, LT, and maybe like James Smith, like in an odd look. Then you still had an outside backer. And this was like a third down package. To me, I'm all about when it's third down, you get your best rushers out there. Now, obviously, if they're a team that's shown that they'll run draw or some like screen type stuff, you could be vulnerable in a situation like that. But if we're talking about just going and getting it, with the emergence of Keon, Keeley, what I would do, I would come up with a package like you just want your, you want speed, you want guys that can go get it. I would have Yonze out there. I would have LT at one of the tackle spots. I would have Keon probably working out of a three. And then when Quay Rousseau is back, have him at that other edge spot. I mean, you guys see where I'm going with that. I mean, that would be like my true like third down, we're going and getting it package. And I'm sure you could probably rotate like you could rotate some other guys. Like you could swap maybe James Smith with one of those tackle spots. I mean, because he's definitely a good rusher on the interior. But normally, like when you're talking about a true speed package like that for pass rush, you typically you have like one big like you know tackle type guy. And like with the Panthers, we didn't have three edge guys in there with just one big tackle. You need one big guy to help kind of, you know, set picks and do things in the interior. But then the other guys, you just want straight speed. Like you look at what the Giants are doing. Like this is the type of like defense I like when you get like third and long situations. Like they got Thibodeau, my guy Burns, my draft mate with Carolina. And then they've got the guy they just drafted from Penn State, Carter. I mean, you see all three of those guys working. Those guys all play the same. They're all edge players. But in those positions, like, you know, in the third and long, they want to go get it. Man, you put your best rushers on the field. And there's always going to be one guy that's a little bit better rushing, like the three. That's an edge guy. Like for us, that was Mario Addison. He was an edge guy, but he was so good with his hands and was so used to rushing out of a three, he could do that. And it's a different type of rush, right? You don't expect him to be rushing like, you know, like Don Terry Poe, who I played with. I'm sure you guys remember him, or Big KK Short. But it's different because now you have a guard who's used to blocking a 300-pound guy. Now you have a 250-pound guy who's rushing out of a three, but you're working him on games. And it really messes them up because guards, they're not used to working with speed like that. You get what I'm saying? So, man, yeah, like NASCAR package. Exactly, man. That's what we called it with Carolina, our NASCAR package. And that's what you just got, straight speed on the field, man. Straight speed, all gas, no brakes. All right, we got to hit a timeout when we come back. We'll dive into a little bit more of a conversation on this stuff before we welcome Tony in at the top of the hour. So make sure you guys are staying tuned for that, because I'm telling you, this will be exciting. Go ahead and like the video, share it, all that good stuff, man. Tony Brown coming up at the top of the hour. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we're going to have a chance to talk with Chris Plank. We're going to explore the Alabama Crimson Tide defense. What grade would you give them going into this bye week? We'll review the first 8 weeks and look ahead to the final 4 weeks, all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
And fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Opens bright and early at 7 a.m. and the race kicks off at 8. 2 days of community, energy, and inspiration. Don't miss it. The Hunter Whitley Butterfly Initiative. Running for hope, flying for change.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy, the chance of a few passing showers this afternoon and early tonight. The high today 56, the low tonight 45. Clearing tomorrow, sunshine by afternoon, the high 57. And Friday, a sunny day with a high at 63. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 54 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. All right, we're a few minutes away from my brother Crazy Tony, aka Apex, AP3X, joining us, and I'm looking forward to that. But we had like a minute or two before we hit this break, so I just wanted to throw this question out for our radio listeners and just get Chase and Reed's thoughts real quick, because we just were talking about it on the stream. Everybody's talking about Lane Kiffin and where he should go and or where he shouldn't go, and I guess my question is it even worth leaving Ole Miss for Florida or LSU? Just let me know what you guys think. I'm reading all the comments here on the YouTube stream, and they're definitely mixed, but I guess just throw mine out there for our radio listeners. To me, I feel like he's got the resources that he needs at Ole Miss, right? They're doing a lot of really good stuff. I mean, they recruit well. They do great in the portal, which – clearly shows the backing that he has. They've really embraced him there. I mean, I don't know. And he said that he's not really driven by money. And the reason this came up is because allegedly Chris Lowe was talking with Coach Saban, and Coach Saban had said that he's not even sure himself if there's a better opportunity for Lane that's awaiting him. I mean, maybe you could argue LSU. Just because I do kind of look at LSU and that program and say, all right, man, like that brand for LSU, it's a little bit of a step up from where he's at. I guess you could say that about Florida. I mean, Florida had a lot of success, about Urban Meyer all those years. I get that. But I'm just looking at what he's built at Ole Miss, and I'm like, for him to leave, then take over a program where they just fired a coach mid-year, he's going to have to embrace recruits leaving, going to try to go save face and salvage that stuff. And all the stuff that comes with taking over a program that's not in the best spot, even though they're good programs, versus where he's at now and what he's established there. I don't know. I don't know. Here's the quote real quick, though. Jobs that weren't great jobs before are now. Lane is the first name for Florida and the first name for LSU, but I think you can have a long debate on whether either one of those jobs is actually better than the job he has now. He has some guys over there at Ole Miss that give him pretty much whatever he wants from a roster standpoint. Maybe you've got alumni who are passionate about football, but are they willing to invest what you have to invest in? What you have to invest now to win? Because a lot of people don't believe in this crap. We'll substitute that word. So I don't know, man. Just an interesting debate. We'll talk more about that here in a little bit, but we're going to hit a timeout, because when we come back, we will be joined live by Tony Brown, Alabama legend, the Apex, right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Toronto Blue Jays beat the Dodgers in L.A. 6-2 with four runs in the seventh in the span of 11 pitches after the Dodger bullpen entered the World Series even at two games apiece. Winning pitcher Shane Bieber over Shohei Ohtani went six-plus innings with six strikeouts, but Vladimir Guerrero hit an early two-run homer. Coming up Game 5 in L.A. Wednesday, it'll be Blake Snell against Toronto rookie Trey Yesavage. The New Orleans Saints will start rookie quarterback Tyler Shuck at the Rams on Sunday. Spencer Rattler was benched. Quarterback Jaden Daniels of Washington is due to return to practice Wednesday after his hamstring injury. In the NBA, Oklahoma City's 5-0 after edging Sacramento 107-101, 31 points for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Philadelphia's 4-0 after winning in overtime at Washington 139-134, 39 points for Tyrese Maxey. In the NHL, Philadelphia won in a shootout against Pittsburgh.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. might be. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill. With two locations in Tuscaloosa. Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant-Denny Stadium. Live reports from our Bama Beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton. Game day picks from the top games. And this year, special insight each week from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square. Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game. The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
TBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so we are now going to be joined by a good brother of mine. We go way back, and you guys definitely know who this guy is. Now, we were working out some kinks, so we'll see if it's set back up. Tony, I see you at the bottom, but can you hear me now? Does it sound better? All right, we got the thumbs up, so we're ready to roll. Without further ado, let's jump into it. Again, we got a very special guest here today. You guys have been requesting this guy for a minute now. He's full of energy, full of wisdom, for sure. Brother of mine, we go back years, man, and definitely have been tight since, and we'll talk about some of our first interactions and all that good stuff. But I know he's got a lot of big stuff going on, too, that I want him to share with you guys as well. So without further ado, we're now joined by Alabama legend, NFL cornerback, and as some people like to call him, Crazy Tony Brown. Tony, my brother, welcome in, man.
Blessed. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I love this, man. It's like a full circle moment, man. Obviously, I mean, we obviously catch up and we talk and stuff. But to have you on the show, I think it's the first time you've come on here, which I appreciate you hopping on. We've had Blade, we've had Ruben and other folks, but I haven't had my guy Tony on here. And a lot of people, your name always comes up one way or another. And typically it's because people are like, man, we need some dogs. We need some guys that bring the juice. And then immediately when that conversation comes up, you automatically pop up. It goes, oh, we need Tony Brown. We need a Tony Brown. So I'm like, all right, well, we just need a Tony Brown here on the Miller's Edge. But Tony, look, there's a number of places where we can start with this. And I know hopefully we got a good bit of time with you because I feel like this is definitely going to take some time. I got a lot of things I want to dive into. But for those of you listening, again, you guys know who Tony is, but if you're not familiar, Tony came in the 2014 class with me here at Alabama, originally from Texas. Tony is literally probably one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life, not just on the football field, but for those of you that don't know, Tony is literally like an all-American Olympic level track star as well. Tony had offers from all over the country, one of the highest rated players in Coach Saban's draft class history. For sure. Tony spent time in the NFL since 2018, you know, with a number of teams from the Chargers, the Packers, Bengals, Colts, and most recently the Browns. Special teams, Demon. I mean, this dude can pretty much do it all. So that's what we got today. And I know you guys are fired up to have him on here. Without further ado, Tony, man, what's up, man? How's everything, brother?
Blessed. Like I said, man, C-Mail, thank you for having me on Miller's Edge. I do appreciate this opportunity to speak to the fans, speak to the people, and to really just, you know, get the fans a look into, like, what a typical conversation between two Bama legends sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to dive into that for sure. I mean, we got plenty of time to do it. But I want to start here, Tony, because obviously me and you go way back. We go back to recruiting, right? I mean, I was telling everybody, I mean, back then we used to all, you know, meet each other, whether it was at the opening, whether it was at Under Armour All-American game, which, a matter of fact, that was when you committed to Alabama. Correct. If I remember correctly, because I remember, yeah, you did one of the commitments during the game. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was a lot of hype, and I was committed to Alabama at the time. You know, all of us Alabama commits, which I know a lot of people were in your ear trying to make sure you were going to choose Alabama. And I think you gave us the nod before you did that, and everybody was fired up. But starting there, Tony, tell me kind of what was that journey like for you recruiting wise? How did you end up at Alabama, right? Because you could have gone anywhere in the country. You were a five-star recruit. I'm pretty sure, I mean, you probably had Olympic / track opportunities as well. Mm-hmm. How did you end up playing football at the University of Alabama?
Well, it was a multitude of things. There were, you know, I had five. I came down, I had top five colleges when I was coming out of high school. I know I graduated early, so I set up all five of my visits. My top five was LSU, Alabama, Texas, USC, and Ohio State, in no particular order. So I took all five of my visits. I went to most of these colleges' camps. In my decision-making process, I definitely wanted to go somewhere where I feel like I could grow as a man and a player. My father was my coach growing up my entire life, so I was under the tutelage of a strong father. So I knew that, like, with a strong hand, you could see dividends in your after the career based off of being, like, just being consistent. Like, it takes a certain level of like, edge about coaching someone that you're trying to get them to an elite level. It doesn't, it's beyond, like, the pedestrian level of, like, of comfort. You have to get outside of your comfort. And so if there was a place where I felt like I would be too comfortable, I didn't think that would promote me growing as a player at all. So that was one with big keys that went into me choosing the University of Alabama or choosing whatever college I would have chosen. And when I went to Alabama's camp, the Nick Saban football camp, I don't know if this was 2012 or 13, one of those years. I remember they were in the old weight room, which was, I think that was like the, like a part of the locker room now, or like the nutrition center now. That was like the old weight room. And I remember Vic Fluka was there, like guys was there. Like even me, when I went to Bama, I worked the camp. So guys was there. That was like, you know, when you were a high school kid, college guys at that time was like legends. Now I think it's a little different, but like back then, so like, oh man, back then it was like, you know, I'm seeing these huge guys, I'm seeing, you know, Mark Ingram, like, yo, he's a legend to me, kind of, you know what I'm saying? So I'm seeing these guys, but I'm also seeing how they working. Like, I was a player who, as a young age, I took risks in the form of like, oh, we're supposed to be here at this time. Oh, we're supposed to be here as a group. Nah, I'm going and seeing what the players got going. They got to work out. Let me go sneak around and just finally wiggle my way in to just, oh, that door stay open. Let me see who. That was me as a high school athlete visiting college campuses. So I got a chance to really smell and feel like what it felt like to be in a locker room after a workout, during a workout with these guys. And like, I did a workout after with him and Coach Cochran, and it was like, and Fluker, and it was just, they was in there working, and Cochran was with it, and it felt like home in the form of like work. I believe that like your faith though shows forth through your work. And so it felt like home in that sense. Secondly, I was a two sport athlete. So I knew I wanted to run hurdles in college and wanted to run hurdles in sprint. So like at the time it was Coach Kane was the Alabama's hurdle coach. And they had Reuben Walters and another guy that were like some of the top hurdlers in the country. And they had a few of the sprinters, DeAndre Batson, and another sprinter that were like the top sprinter in the country as well. So I was like, okay, that's a plus. And then it came into like me weighing different pros and cons as far as like, you know, some things is trivial because I was young. Some things is trivial as like, you know, what is it actually like the aesthetic? Like the aesthetic of the campus, the aesthetic of like, the aesthetics of like the colors of the uniforms and stuff like that.
I thought about that stuff too.
Little small like things like that. I'm like, oh, okay, Ben. Okay, how I was treated, and then you got, you know, the cherry on the top, which is just Coach Saban, which is like, you know, anybody who knows football knows what what type of program he runs and how they can promote growth as a player. You know, that's just a proven system. So those three things went into those factors went into me choosing Alabama.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I was very similar. Like, people might get mad at this, but I was in high school. I used to kind of go back and forth in my head. I'm like, man, I really like Florida. I like Bama. I'm like, man, Bama's unis are a little trash. Look, listen. Before I had the respect for the tradition, and now it's funny. I'm the complete opposite. I'm like, when I see some of these other teams with too much, I'm like, man, nah, man, we got a tradition. I love a tradition. But like in high school, when you're 15, 16, I'm like, how's my swag gonna look? Just the plain red jersey.
Yeah, you gotta
wear black cleats. But you see, nowadays they got it better now though, because see, they I don't think they gotta wear the black cleats like us.
They barely gotta wear football pants.
Yeah, you see, which I mean, you're doing in practice now. You're getting away with it in practice, but the refs weren't having that in the game.
We couldn't do that. They ain't gonna pull it off in the game.
Nah, bro, I seen a dude. He legit had his football pants in the game. Might have been from Florida, bro. We're legit like midway on his thigh.
Yeah,
and I was like, bro, they got it good, bro. I mean, these dudes can celebrate in college now. They don't need to wear knee pads. They get paid. They got it made. And we'll dive into some of that here in a minute. Tony, all right, you get to Alabama. Actually, no, you got to tell the story real quick. I need to get you to explain to these people one of our first interactions on campus. I'm sorry, I can't skip over it. Now, you can pick and choose what part you want to include in this.
I can't say
everything.
No, I would not.
I need you to at least get an idea.
How about this? I'll tell the story like it's a tall tale. So it'll be like I'll let you guys decide what y'all think is truth or what's a lie. This is how I remember it. You know, I done had plenty hits to the head. I've had, you know, I was special team player, I ran down the kickoff, y'all seen how I hit. So this could be true or could not be true. Just as a disclaimer before, the way I remember it, the way I recall, right? I was at a gathering, and there was a gathering, right, at an apartment building that wasn't far from campus, but it was far enough where the walk is crazy. It's far enough where, like, the walk is crazy. The drive is maybe less than 7 to 8 minute drive, but that's a far walk, a very far walk, right? So I think, C. Mill, you might have been on your visit.
It was my official visit, bro.
Okay, there we go. It was his official visit. And I was already there because I had graduated early.
Yep.
So, see, Mill.
Who were you rooming with? Because we didn't have many early enrollees.
It was me, Cornwell, and Sean Dion.
Sean Dion Hamilton. Yeah.
So, I'm like, yo, we got this gathering, this track team gathering. See, Mill, just pull up here on this visit. I want to have some another good time. So we pull up to the party, right? It's a fun party. Literally on some hilarious stuff. Like, literally looks exactly whatever you guys think a collegiate party looks like. Like, exactly. And it's like, it was a track team. So track is super multicultural. It was like a Russian guy. We had French athletes. We had like Ukrainian athletes. It was from different parts of the places and track gatherings. So it's a conglomerate of people at this apartment. This is probably a three-bedroom apartment, maybe three-bedroom apartment, possibly four. 3 to 4 bedroom apartment, not 3,000 square feet. It may have been less than 2,500 square feet. Maybe under 60 people there, under 60 people, right? See, Neil just told you guys, right? He may or may not have been 21. I don't know what year he graduated, but there was alcohol at the party. It was different types of people at the party. I don't know everybody that was there. I know I was there. So at some point, the police, right? You know what? If you're watching this, y'all can connect this, because this was in the news as well. Because this was like one of the first reasons that I was there. This might have been my first Saturday, like, being a college student. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Because I don't think I've seen this before. I think this is my first actual college Saturday being a student. That might have been January, like, 7th or some crazy. So,
yeah. Y'all weren't long, bro. Y'all just got there, bro. But y'all were like a week maybe in, but y'all were still showing us everything because we were like, hey, so how has it been? Y'all like, shit, it's been cool, man. We just got here. But you like, you know, this is our homeboy here. And I'm like, oh, man, it's cool, man. So I'm just down for the ride. But go ahead. Yeah. You're right. It was a good time. We're enjoying it. But then, yeah, we had some company come that weren't necessarily invited.
Yes. We had some police come. This story might get dark for a second. I'm going to let y'all know now. I didn't expect it to. It might get dark for a second. But we have police come, right? So initially, I'm like, I'm the one who brought Christian into the party. When you're young, your response to certain things, you emotions make you lose a lot of logic. So I would advise any young people watching, always try to take your emotions out of a situation before you make a decision because you can't be logical when you're heightened emotion. So I'm like, yo, I gotta get you out here to see Mill. Like, I think it's alcohol in here. I know, I gotta get. So I'm trying to figure out how I can get. We probably got out of here. The police at the door, the guy whose apartment was stepped outside, but he didn't step outside. Like, the police hit him with a flashlight. Yeah,
remember, because initially he said, everybody's like quiet. He's like, who is it? And then they announce who they are. And typically, you know, you're supposed to, you know, follow with their, well, I think this guy was feeling himself a little too much.
Yeah.
Because he said, y'all aren't coming. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, I don't think you have that choice.
So the police. So it was a second to where, okay, knock. Oh, music cut. Music gets cut. I'm quiet for a second. They're like, oh, it's police. So we in the room, me and Christian in the room. I'm like, dang, the police. I'm looking at windows like, how we got to get out of here? I don't care. I don't know.
We got to go.
I don't got no, man, go. So the police end up pulling the owner of the apartment out of the apartment, out of his apartment, like crazy, pull him out of the door. So now, in that, it was like it felt like 10 minutes, but it probably was 45 minutes or 2 minutes. It felt like 10 minutes.
Yeah. It felt like forever, bro.
We had to be quiet. We're ducked off
in the room trying to figure out how to get windows open. And I'm talking about there's all type of stuff going on in the main area where everybody was celebrating. Like Tony said, we know. We're like, man, he just got here. I'm on a visit. We're like, nah, we need to go. And so we're literally trying to find how to open this window. And it's like, it's like something out of a movie, man. Because there's probably like, what, 8 people together with us in that room.
Yes, we're all
trying to figure out this whole window. We could not figure out the window. I don't know if you remember. I think somebody, not broke it, like the glass.
We had to break it. Because the windows only go up this much. And there's like a little stopper. So we had to like break the stopper to get the window up. So we end up getting out. Leslie was on the first floor. We end up getting out, right? We start to slide away. And then me and Samuel realize as we're walking, like, hey, bro, you know, I'm a week there. This is my first time being at this apartment building. And we got dropped off. I didn't have no car. Samuel had no car. He on his vehicle. We got dropped off. This is pre-Uber. Also, just so you guys can know, this is pre-Uber. I don't know if Uber was out, and we didn't know about no Uber. So
we had Crimson Ride, but we didn't even know how that worked.
Right. So then we get out, we start to leave, and we realize we're walking like, bro, we're just going to be walking aimlessly. So we go back to the party like, we're going to find a ride. Maybe, I know people got out, we're going to go find a ride over there. So we get back to the scene of the party, and there's maybe 5 cop cars. Now it's a crowd of people outside of the cop cars. It's 2 people in handcuffs. There's one on the ground and one getting walked to the cop car. And people with their phones out. Me and Samuel are like, we just came looking for a ride. We got a lot more than we bargained for. So as we're walking around, I see we're looking for a ride. And, you know, I'll tell this part of the story. I wasn't going to.
Yeah, I was about to say, you can skip over.
I'll skip over that part. That'll be for another time. Whenever the next time, I'll tell y'all the rest of that story. But that's the summary. All right. That part makes it so much more better, though, because it's like...
It's up to you, man. It's up to me.
So, look, I'll tell you guys the rest of the story. I ended up... I ain't going to tell all the details. I ended up getting arrested when we went back. So...
You were trying to help some of your teammates. You were trying to help your teammates out. Unfortunately,
I got arrested, right? But to end the night, just also not funny but funny, they didn't take my phone. So I'm in the back of the cop car talking to you. I'm like, see me, I'm arrested, bro. Call me, bro. What the fuck? My phone is on campus. I'm in a cop car.
What's going on
right now, bro? So
when I tell y'all, I have no idea what to do. Guys, I'm on a visit, and he legit did call me back there, and I'm literally just sitting here like, what the hell do I do? So I'm like, man, I'm trying to think of any coach, whoever. I don't even know the staff well enough.
I'm
like, oh, man. And I was like, damn, we're both going to get in trouble. But nah, no, I'm glad Tony was okay, and it ended up working out okay. But it did work out okay. And we tell that story jokingly. Now, obviously, we know it's definitely a scary situation. And like Tony said, I mean, hindsight is 20/20. I mean, for anybody listening, just if you're in a situation, just comply, be respectful, whatever. But because we can laugh about it now, but we do know, I mean, it could have been a little bit different. But it definitely is just kind of crazy. That was our first experience on campus together. Now, again, we met before that, but that was probably the craziest thing. And I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, how am I supposed to tell my parents, like, hey, Chris, how was the visit? I'm like, it was great. Went to a college party. My homeboy, my host, got carried away. Sitting here hoping for Cornwell to show back up because Cornwell had the truck. So Cornwell was like, you know, saving grace for everything. Everybody had to call Cornwell for everything. But let's do this because I know we got to hit a timeout here. Let's stay on schedule. Hey, Reed, Chase, let's hit a quick timeout because that's a perfect point to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll get Tony's thoughts on his experience here at Alabama. I want to ask him about a saving story just in general, his experience, because Tony had the luxury of sitting right next to Coach Saban in the meetings, right? So Tony's got so much. Tony's like, he should write his own book on his experience at Alabama. It'll be great. But we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about his journey in the NFL. Then I definitely want to, here in a minute, talk about what he's doing now and some of the things he's doing off the field, because he got a lot of exciting stuff going on. We're going to dive into all that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Time 100 point.
When you give a gift from Hudson Pool, you're not just giving jewelry.
You're giving a memory that lasts a lifetime.
Shop in-store or online at hudsonpool.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
Really learn another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy, the chance of a few passing showers this afternoon and early tonight. The high today 56, the low tonight 45. Clearing tomorrow, sunshine by afternoon, the high 57. And Friday, a sunny day with a high at 63. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 54 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
This Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. You guys already know we got Crazy Tony Brown. Hopefully, Tony, I think you're good with that nickname, right? Bama fans kind of came up with that name for you. And we, but I'm going to ask you about all that in a minute, but hopefully you're good with that. Again, that's just from the fans. That's not me. I know you go by AP3X Apex. We'll dive into that here in a second as well. But Tony Brown joined us here on the Miller's Edge. And continuing where we just left off, we told the story about our first experience here. But talk to me a little bit about your experience here in general, Tony. I mean, you come in top-rated guy. You actually were one of the few guys that did play early. Remember, back then, we didn't have a bunch of, you know, young guys really seeing the field, but you were one of them. You did get a lot of opportunities. But just tell us about, like, your experience here, just, you know, your journey, you know, working your way up. And then I know everybody always wants to hear Coach Saban's story. I want you to kind of talk about that kind of whole experience, too. But I guess I'll start there. Your experience at Alabama on the field. Right? How was it for you? Things you might have learned, and then tell us how it was being next to Coach Saban so much, because y'all literally were, you know, two peas in a pod, right next to each other every day, low key probably driving each other a little crazy sometimes, because I know he we'd be watching tape and then he'd see you jawing on the tape, and he didn't like that. Tony, if you guys didn't know, I'm sure you wouldn't have guessed this. Tony was the biggest talker that we had on the field. I don't care where we were at, when it was. Tony was going to be trying to get in the head of those receivers, and Coach Saban, he low-key acted like he didn't like it, but he kind of did. Like, he liked it a little bit because he knew it brought the juice and intensity to practice. Like, it got everybody going. But anyway, I'll let you take it away. Tell us about your experience at Alabama and then a little bit about that too.
My experience at Alabama was one that, you know, I hadn't ever really thought about it, but I think that I could write a book. Because, you know, when you're going through things, when you go through things, you don't usually sit back and take the passenger seat and looking at, oh, what's really going on. Like, and Christian will probably tell you as well, as we were, you know, searching to win championships at Bama, I wasn't actively thinking, oh, when Coach Saban's done or when this is done, how will it be linked if Coach Saban stops coaching? I didn't even understand, like, what I was a part of. I knew that, yo, we are a really good team, and we have a standard for what we want to do. But looking back, I didn't really look at it as, like, oh, the Miami. I didn't look at it as, like, oh, the Florida game. I wasn't, but that's exactly what it was, right? So, you know, my experience is like a movie, to put it in layman's terms, like, for lack of better words, it was very similar to a movie, like, in the sense that, you know, a lot of the characters are actually movie-type characters in these shows. And it's like, you know, I was blessed to be around prolific athletes, some that didn't make it to the NFL and some that the whole world knows now. It was full of ups and downs, like anyone's college career would be. But as I look back, I count it as a blessing, even the shortcomings of my career at Alabama, even the things that, you know, oh, I could have did this better, or I could have did this, you know, even with all of that, it was an amazing experience as a young man to understand and to be able to even, you know, reference tracks of what holding yourself accountable can do, of what pays attention to the little things, how that can pay dividends in the big, like, I can reference that with my athletic career in college, where some people might can never reference, you know, the things that it takes in order to go to the next level in whatever facet that may be. Because, you know, that's one of the things that I learned at Alabama. And I think that's one of the things that Coach Saban is immortalized for the methods by which he did win. He didn't win by, you know, wacky offensive positions, wacky offensive plays. He didn't win by, oh, he was known for going for it on fourth down or fake kickoffs. We didn't win that way. We won based off of the standard that we set as players and that he set as a coach top down. And we stood on that daily. And we had guys that was going to push each other and compete that ate off of competition. I learned that only through competition can you really see dividends in your performance at all. So, like, my experience was full of competition. It was full of love, laughter, you know, with some tears, a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. But it was a movie, man. It was awesome. I wouldn't change it because, you know, if you change it, you don't know, I might not be here right now. So, like, right. I wouldn't change it at all. And the saving story, this will probably be a funny one. As CBO told you guys, I sat right by Coach Saban, unbeknownst to me, right? The first day we had meetings, I sat in his chair. I didn't know where he sat at. I sat where he sit at, in the middle, where the DBs sit on the front row, and then the linebackers, I think, sat like over to the left. Everybody had different spots. And yep. So I went in the DB set and sat right where Coach Saban is. I didn't know. He come in laughing with his little cup of coffee like he do every day. He come in with the pen in his mouth or something like that. And he laughing. He chuckling. He come walk up to the seat, and he kind of like looks at him. He looks at like the people around. He's like, kind of points at me, and then he like waves me off, and he just sits down beside me in what is going to be his seat for the next 4 years. So the funny story about me sitting beside Coach Saban, training camp, right? Man, I could direct a good Bama training camp movie for sure. It would be good. Very good. So... As you guys know, training camp is a long, laborious, tentative schedule that most high school players going into college, their first time doing a college football camp, training camp, is grueling, right? On the body, on the mind, man. You know, sleep, you don't understand nothing. You get up early, you go to sleep late. So fighting sleep is hard, boy, especially when you never really had to fight sleep. So, like, I'm sitting right by Coach Saban now. But, like, bruh, and I used to hate that. Like, the crazy thing about meetings, football meetings and training camp, bro, I promise you, you could be wide awake, fresh off of breakfast, fresh off of 6:30 lift. But, like, soon as you walk into that air-conditioned meeting room and you got to sit down for more than 20 minutes, man, not being able to, like, wiggle, is real cold, nice and chilly. He had to put the football pants on, and he didn't want nobody going to change. So we had our football pants, nice and cozy. You feel me? Toes got all up. You get leather seats, movie chair type seats, very cozy seats, right? And so I'm good. I'm thinking I'm straight. I fell asleep without knowing I went to sleep. I was fighting it, but I lost the fight, and I didn't know I lost the fight. So I'm steady fighting it. Oh, and he told me he's going after. Whole time he watching me. I'm not knowing he watching me. I'm just trying to fight this whole hard.
Bro, we all were watching you. It was a team. I'm pretty sure it was a team meeting. Like, I remember, I vividly remember this. Bro, your head tilted back. You kept doing that. You kept doing that, like, when people are not in the sleep. And we were watching. Everybody was like, oh.
He catching me. I'm not knowing. Now, man, I'm gone. This is just one of the days. He was on me. The Sandman that sprinkled the whole bucket on me, right? So this happened like two or three days in a row. Like I kind of was nodding off, but I was just nodding off. And he was like, and so the third day, right, he put air horn in behind his chair. I'm not knowing none of this. I'm dozing off. He let me go to sleep this time. No, he ain't like nudged me. He let me go to sleep completely, right? I'm completely asleep. He air horn. Man, come on, bro. Everybody been laughing. It wasn't funny to me, but it's funny to me now. So that's a very funny story. And I'm glad that's very on brand with Coach Saban. And man, we'd be up with an air horn right beside him, bro. Come on, bro.
Bro, no, and I forgot about it, but no, I vividly, we kept watching. You're doing the typical, like, because that just happened to me. You start, your head starts going back and you're like thinking you're fighting it. But then you said, next thing you know, You don't even remember. You fall asleep.
Like a baby, bro, like my son. Like, I see my son. Like, as soon as... So I don't care what we're doing. If I put my son in the car and we drive anywhere for more than 15 to 20 minutes, it's over with. Sleep.
No, dude, that's hilarious. No, I forgot about that until you just said that. Yeah, you had some nerve, man. I know you didn't mean to do it, but, boy, falling asleep right next to this dude is lucky. Crazy. Hey, speaking of your time in Alabama, man, a lot of people... They immediately go back to this. So I want you to watch this quick clip real quick and just give me just an immediate reaction.
What are your feelings right now?
I feel great right now.
I feel great right now. We came here dominating as we did. We came here dominating as we did.
Talk about this domination, defensively, offensively. I mean, this was Alabama's game the entire way.
We laid out a plan. The coach laid out a plan for us. And we need to play. So that's what happened. We played tougher, and we dominated for longer than they did. That's what we did.
You started the season. Atlanta and I are going to end it in Atlanta. How excited are you to go be playing Georgia's SEC matchup in the national championship game?
I'm just excited as I was for this game. When we get prepared, that's the same. You know, last year after the national championship game, the players on the real for you, he lied about it, like something about keeping up. That was a lie. But I thank him, and I thank Dabo Sweeney for all the ammunition they gave his team to come get right this game for this playoff. I thank you for the ammunition they gave us. I thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate that. You need all the ammunition. You need it.
You need So, immediate reactions, and then the second part of that question too. I love the energy, man. I love that video. Please tell me, did we ever find out what he lied about? I'm not gonna lie, I'm still trying to find out what he lied about.
Oh my gosh, I think, bro, that's so funny. That might be the first time I've watched that, like, in maybe. Bruh, 8 years, maybe like it's definitely 5 years plus. I've not seen that whole clip in a long time. That's very, it's very.
I wish the quality was better for you. If I knew that, I would have felt better.
I'm gonna go. I have her Twitter. I'm gonna go and ask her. She probably has that in good quality for sure. Cause I like mm-hmm. She got a lot of followers after that. She should have paid. But anyways, my immediate reaction is almost like to put a big smile on my face because. It's like a time stamp. It's like a time stamp of a moment that was so impactful in my like competitive career as an athlete that I'm glad that it has a visual there for it. Like, so to speak on what he lied about. In the end, if you want to just give me a minute, okay? Tony, give me a minute, okay? Come on. All right. So, Hunter Renfrow, right? There was an article out. I remember this because, you know, if you guys remember the 2016 National Championship game, we lost in the last play. Oh, my gosh. Heartbreaking. In real life heartbreak. The biggest heartbreak would have
it was a pick play without a doubt. Listen,
I know, but I'm just saying the actual loss in itself in the 2 seconds of like, oh my gosh, we had the penalty, they got the ball on the 2-yard line, then it happened
quick, bro.
Oh my gosh, so that loss at the Natty, I'm like, bro, I thought I would never get an opportunity. Now I got to load y'all up to why that was such an awesome moment. We lost that game the year before. Now we have this the next year of the playoffs. We lost that year to who did we lose to early in the season?
We lost to Auburn at the in the season finale.
Okay, yes,
final regular season.
Right, we lost to Auburn. Then Auburn lost to Georgia in the SEC championship, I believe. Right?
I think so, yeah.
So then we got in the playoffs before Auburn, right? So it was. We didn't know that we would ever even get a chance to be in the playoffs one, and Clemson had to be good again the next year as well. So it just so happened that Clemson was good, that we made it to the playoffs, that we just skidded in because Auburn, and then didn't Auburn lose by like a crazy tip pass or something like? Wasn't it like that? Am I remembering it correctly?
I don't even remember. I just know that the whole odds were just stacked against us, and we were praying that we would get that final spot because that was the only year, Tony, that we didn't get to play an SEC championship game.
We had back to back.
Until that year, and so our hope was we have to get that fourth spot.
Yes,
I don't even remember what happened with them, but I know we got that fourth spot, and we made up our mind as a team like they're gonna have to see us now. Like they messed up.
And then
we got Clemson. Paired up with Clemson.
We got Clemson at the same place we lost. No, we don't. But we did lose to Oklahoma in New Orleans at this place. We stayed in a different hotel. That's another story though. But we did lose to Oklahoma here. But not Oklahoma, Ohio State, our freshman year. So
yes.
Right. So that happens. So now we get to play Clemson again. They have most of the same players. Oh my gosh, we got the opportunity to play these guys. It's over with for them, right? So then we dominate them. Great game for Bama. And Simone Ellie, I think that's her name. She just happens to find me. I'm fuming. I'm obviously fuming. We're fresh off the dub. I can barely breathe. I don't know where my helmet is right here. I'm wiping sweat. This current sweat. This may be not even 5 minutes after the victory. I don't even know how she finds me. And this obviously wasn't scripted. This was just where my brain immediately went on, like, this is a year of emotions of, I had to watch the confetti fall on my head on ESPN for 60 days. I had to watch them do me like that for so long. I had to watch them do all these Clemson, Tombstone. I had to watch his interviews, and I did watch him too. I watched all the interviews, and that's why. And I read a lot of new favorite Clemson because the type of athlete I was. I wanted to really, really feel the burn, like, so I could feel it when I'm working out. So there was a clip where, an article where Hunter Renfro said that, you know, we were going back and forth in a sense, and that he apologized to me for something that went on during the game. And that was cap. That was a big ball cap. And I remember when I read the statement, I'm like, bro, why you lied like that in my brain? So that's how I registered in my brain. Why he's a liar? And then, y'all want to be okay. So that opportunity comes, I'm talking. I'm like, you know what? And he lied. Like, in my brain, like, and he was lying. And he's a liar, too. So we came and bust y'all up like we wanted to. We got our lick back like we wanted to. And LeBron lied. And Lil Hunter Renfro lied. So it was like, in 10x emotion. So I probably could have articulated it much better, but like the emotion just made it come out to us. And he lied. And he did lie. It's circa 2020, me and Riffo are on the Ravens team together. I have Hunter Riffo's number. We're pretty cool. So it's not, it's all, everything is under the bridge now. But yeah, that was that situation. Man.
No, that's amazing. Let's do this. Perfect time. We got to catch back up on a break. We'll do that when we come back. We'll have a couple minutes. So just for our radio listeners, me and Tony are going to continue on our stream. I know he's got some stuff he's got to do, so I'm not going to hold him too long, but there's stuff we got to get to in terms of what he's doing now that's really important. So we come back. We'll hit a couple minutes, then we'll have to close things out on the radio. But everybody in the stream, stay still, stay tuned. We're going to keep going here. Then radio listeners, if you want to continue the interview with us, just come join us on the Miller's Edge live stream right now. And you can do that just then. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it, 29-22. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us next Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the LSU Tigers at Bryant-Denny Stadium on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online
38070 to book your appointment today. That's 205-343-8070. Located in the DCH Medical Tower. Live Well Primary Care. It's time.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
We'll be right back.
these stories I want to ask you are going to take too long for 2 minutes. We're not going to be able to get it on the radio.
Just let me know. Let me know. I can come on next week. I can come on in a few days, but I can just touch on things like just based off of how you asked the question, and I can go into more depth in them because I know the story of this that obviously is the.
I have to ask you about that. I can't let you go until you give me some more detail. I've been keeping up with the Instagram posts and trying to learn, but I need to hear it from you. This is what we'll do. Reed, you can go ahead. I'll close out here via radio. I'll hang out with Tony on the stream for another 10 minutes or so, however long he's got. And then if we don't get to finish on our stream today, we got plenty of time. Maybe we'll just make Tony a guest and get him to come on here like once a week or so. I'll just chop it up. Because I know you guys love his energy, man. Everybody's talking about they love it. All right, so let's do this. For our radio listeners, big thanks to you guys as always. You guys know the drill. Check us out on our YouTube channel at The Middler's Edge on Facebook as well at Title 9.9 where we stream. We're going to continue here. The interview is not done just yet. So if you guys want to continue that, which I'm sure you do, come check it out at The Middler's Edge on YouTube. And we'll continue here. Tony, you got something for the radio listeners real quick?
Yes. Out here. Thank you guys for listening. Crazy Tony Brown. I go by The Apex now. In another segment, we'll talk about that. I am currently a free agent, still training, being prepared and staying ready to get in the NFL. So send all good wishes my way, positivity my way. I've also just put out my debut single, Health is Wealth, on Tidal, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music. If you go to any of these places and type in The AP3X, Health is Wealth, it'll come up. Just briefly, Health is Wealth is an idea that I'm promoting as a man, as a brand. That's what I live by. Anybody who knows Tony, Crazy Tony, or Apex knows that I've always been somebody that takes good care of my body, and that's always something that I've heard near and dear to me. And as I've gone throughout my athletic process and became an elite athlete, I've amassed a lot of knowledge about how to take and maintain the body. And, I've learned that through music, you can articulate messages in a way that can reach people that you wouldn't normally reach with just words. So to all the Bama fan listeners, thank you guys. Roll damn Tide. Appreciate y'all for y'all support over the years. Appreciate you for your continued support. Hope you have a blessed day.
Absolutely. Love that. That being said, we're going to still be on the stream for a little bit. So hang out with us at the Miller's Edge. But for all you guys on the radio, we'll see you guys.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCA.